Hi, this is Derek from Atlanta. Unlike Bob, I am a former law enforcement officer, but I still enjoy listening to a practical show by a practical guy. You're listening to the Handgun World Podcast.
Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Podcast, episode 471. Happy New Year, everybody. It's January 1st, 2019. I am fired up this new year, and I got kind of a mixture of things that I want to talk to you about. That introductory music is called You Ain't Getting My Guns by Ozark Revival. I've played their music a lot, and you know, I think that that song is especially important right now. You Ain't Getting My Guns. You know, in just a few days, I believe, the new Congress is going to get sworn in, Congress of the United States of America. And folks, I think we are definitely going to have a greater attack on our gun rights, even greater than 2018 with the new Congress. So, You Ain't Getting My Guns is probably a very appropriate song. And I want to start off by talking about that. I try not to get real political on this podcast, and this is no exception, this episode. Here's all I'm going to say. Get active in the fight for your gun rights. Get active, please. I am going to be active this year in 2019. After you have done your budgets for every month, which you should be doing, by the way, you should be doing a budget. After you've done your budgets, if you're under budget, consider a few times this year, consider maybe donating to some gun rights causes that are going to help protect your gun rights. And one of them is by purchasing your ammo at ammo.com. And that's ammo.com/handgunworld. They're one of the sponsors of this podcast. Handgun World Podcast is sponsored by ammo.com. And that's ammo.com/handgunworld. All one word. 1% of everything that you donate gets sent to organizations that fight for your gun rights. So I think it's a great place to buy ammo simply because of that. You also save $20 on any purchase of $200 or more by using my affiliate landing page, ammo.com/handgunworld. So I want to start this episode here by talking about some concealed carry goals or concealed carry analysis that I have here for 2019. I think it's going to be an interesting year. First of all, I'm very excited. I got some more things to talk about later in this episode about my joint venture with Ben Branham of the Modern Self-Protection Podcast. I'm very excited about that and very excited to share with you. But as you know, I am a little bit less than halfway through my one-year test of some guns. And I've selected some guns that I want to test over the period of a year. I may have to extend this until the end of 2019. I may have to extend this through the entire year of 2019 because there's some more guns that I want to test. I kicked it off in early August on the anniversary of this podcast, the 9th anniversary of this podcast. I've been doing this podcast 9.5 years now. Thank you. Thank you all listeners who consistently tune in. I very much appreciate you. But I think I'm going to have to probably extend it, so it's probably going to be about a year and a half long test. And the reason is I want to get more guns into the mix. I am trying to settle on basically 2 concealed carry firearms for me. 2 concealed carry firearms for me. I pretty much have settled that I want a mid-size handgun. Some people call it compact. I call it mid-size. A Glock 19 size, an M&P 2.0 compact size of a firearm, a CZ-P10C, that size, that compact, about a 4-inch barrel, 15-round magazine, that size of pistol. And so I have, for about 3.5-4 months, most of you know, I shot nothing but an M&P 2.0 compact. Totally loved the gun. If you go back and listen to older episodes, I talked about what I liked about it. I'm still in the process now of carrying and shooting every single day a Glock 19. I don't shoot every single day. I wish I did, but I don't. But I carry every single day Glock 19. And I'm also looking to settle on a smaller single stack version of the larger gun that I settle on. So, for example, if I settle on a Glock 19, the logical small single stack version would be a Glock 43 or a Glock 42. If I settle on an M&P 2.0 compact, the logical smaller gun of the same type would be a Shield, Smith & Wesson Shield. One of the guns I'm really intrigued with now, I am, is the SIG P365, and I was negative about this gun when it first came out, because, and I think rightfully so, I don't regret being negative about the SIG P365 when it first came out. I made a couple of YouTube videos on that. Most of it was well received. I had some typical people that got on there and trashed me, but, you know, look at all the reported issues with the SIG P365. I love the concept of the gun. I love the fact that it is a micro-sized gun. Okay, a very small gun, not really a single stack gun, but it's that size of single stack 9mm, but it carries 10 rounds out of the box, and you can get, I believe, 12 round magazines, right? So that's kind of good. I mean, that's really good. A 10 round plus one in the chamber, an 11 round pistol in that small of a size is a great concept. And I have shot one, and the trigger is good. The sights are good. And now it seems like SIG has got most of the initial problems worked out. You know, I have changed my mind. I mentioned this a few months ago. I've changed my mind about buying pistols when they first come out. I've had too much bad luck buying a pistol when it first comes out. So my previous podcasts and my YouTube videos said why I'm not buying a SIG P365 just yet. I wanted to wait. I wanted other people to be beta testers. There are people that still report some issues with the latest versions, but not many. Michael Bain at Downrange Radio has been saying real good things about his SIG P365. I very much respect Michael and his opinions because his track record speaks for himself. And, you know, I mean, the man is just extremely experienced and he shoots everything. And I trust a lot of his opinions. There are a lot of real big YouTube commandos that I'm kind of wondering about their opinions because it seems to me like many of them are simply what I called them, YouTube commandos. And they're good at making videos with good production value, but some of them, their knowledge of firearms and their track record of shooting the guns is suspect. Now, there are some good YouTubers. I'm going to withhold names, but there are some good ones that do have good track records of shooting guns. And there are some of those that are praising the 365. There are some that are not so praising of it. But I think I'm going to try one. I think I am going to try one. I think I'm going to invest in one. And the reason I want to invest in one is because I think it's going to be a relatively easy gun to sell if I decide I don't like it. That's another one of my criteria of a concealed carry firearm. Life changes. Life, you know, life happens. Things change, and sometimes people need to get rid of a gun for various reasons. We all hate to sell firearms. I know I hate to sell guns as much as anybody else hates to sell a gun, but sometimes life happens. And so I think it's important to have a gun that you can easily sell and get pretty close to what you paid for it. We all know most of the time you never get what you pay for a gun when you sell it used, but there are some that will hold their value very well, and I think a SIG P365 is probably going to be holding its value quite well. So I'm probably going to invest in one, and then that way there's no real timetable on me being able to test it. It's mine. I can keep it as long as I want. And if it's viable, then I'm going to carry it. So I may actually put a SIG P365 in my year and a half test. That might be what I actually do. That might be one. And I'm still in search of the double action single action gun that I want to shoot. The CZ-P07 is one that's intriguing to me. An H&K is something that is intriguing to me. So I may actually take a look at one of those. I'm not really interested in a Beretta. Although the Beretta, I tell you what, the Beretta PX4 Storm, and especially the Ernest Langdon version of the Beretta PX4 Storm. It's kind of pricey, but I'd like to try that. Although I want this test to be mostly shooting a stock gun, because that, again, that's what people do. People typically go and buy a gun, and out of the box, they rarely make any modifications. With the exception of sights, oftentimes sights are changed out pretty quickly, and sights are not all that expensive, so it's one of the first things people do. But beyond that, a lot of people just simply never modify their guns very much. So that's why I want to do this test using stock guns that are out of the box. So that's part of my concealed carry analysis for 2019. Now, I want to ask you a question. What is your concealed carry analysis going to be in 2019? Are you perfectly happy with what you have? And if you are, that's good. That's good. Invest money in ammo and training. If you're perfectly happy with the guns you have, buy ammo, get training. It's usually a good idea to buy ammo and get training. It's hard to go wrong with that. It's something that a lot of people don't want to do. A lot of people want to buy skill. Have you ever noticed that? They want to buy skill. Buying skill is tough or almost impossible to do. Buying skill usually doesn't work. You know how skill comes? You know how you get skill? You get skill by practicing, you get skill by training. And back to practice and back to training. And training and practice are two different things. You got to do both. You got to train and you got to practice what you learned in training. Oftentimes people go to a training class, they go to the class, they complete the class successfully, and then never go out and practice what they learned in class. And then when the training doesn't help them, they say, oh, that's not good training. Training's not worth it. Well, maybe if they would have gone out and practiced what they learned in training, then maybe they would get more out of the training. Here's a big challenge. People say, well, where can I practice some of the training? Because a public range is very limiting in what you can do. Oftentimes, they only allow you to, for example, shoot one round per second because they don't want knuckleheads rapid firing on their range, and I can understand that. They won't let you draw from a holster many times. They won't let you move and shoot, things like that. All that's very important to practice what you are probably going to learn in a good training class. Here's what you can do. Dry fire practice a lot. And maybe you can get some things like cool fire trainers or cert pistols or whatever and do some dry fire practice where you can practice your draw, you can practice your moving and shooting, you can practice your reloads. I think there's some public ranges out there that don't allow fast reloads and stuff like that. It's kind of crazy, but I understand. I understand a public ranges challenge. They get some real knuckleheads at their ranges, and you know, I can't blame them. But, you know, many of these ranges also have private shooting bays that you can rent. Me being a former instructor, you know, we did that all the time. Either we rented the private bay or the host who was hosting the class that I taught with Ben Branham, we had a private training bay, sometimes two bays, and that's where we would teach the class. It might be worth it for you to invest in that. Invest in that. Now, sometimes you may have to take an instructor with you. Some ranges are kind of fussy. They want you to have certain types of insurance. They want you to have certain types of certifications. Find out what the range's policy is. You may have to take somebody with you that has the insurance and that has the certifications and things like that. But if you work at it, I'll bet a few times a year, You can get to a shooting range where you can work on that stuff. Or if you know somebody that has private land, make that part of your concealed carry analysis or your concealed carry goals for 2019. Find someone that's got some private land where you can practice some of the things that you learn in training. Here's something else. Here's another idea. Why not take a training class twice? Maybe a third time. I've done that. Well, Bob, why would I want to take a training class twice? Here's why. If you have a hard time finding a range where you can practice what you learned in training, let me pause and take a phone call. Sorry about that. That's why you'd want to take a training class the second time, because you got the use of the range for the length of that class. You got the use of the range where you can do things that you cannot do ordinarily at most public ranges when you go there to practice that. So think about that. Many instructors will also give you a discount if you repeat the class. And of course, a lot of instructors, if you're ex-military or law enforcement or active military or law enforcement, many times you'll get a discount that way too, especially when you repeat the class. Now, another concealed carry analysis that I've actually kind of completed, you know, for a couple of years, actually, I have been carrying outside the waistband, There's a lot of, you see a lot of news about appendix inside the waistband carry, which I used to do. And of course, a lot of people strong side hip inside the waistband. I don't hear too many people cross draw carrying anymore. Not too many in shoulder holsters or anything like that. And of course, you hear a lot about pocket carry, but you just don't hear a lot of people talking about outside the waistband carry. And I think it's because a lot of people don't have the right kind of holster for it. As you know, Concealment Solutions makes terrific holsters. And they've been a longtime sponsor of this show, ConcealmentSolutions.com. Handgun World, all one world, one word, Handgun World. That coupon code gets you a 10% discount. But I really love the outside the waistband Cobra. And one of the advantages of outside the waistband carry, and especially with a Cobra holster or something like a Cobra holster from Concealment Solutions, one of the advantages is that you get good speed. You get good speed. A lot of people like appendix inside the waistband carry because of the speed, because you can access the gun quicker if it's in the front part of your body, which is true. Also with outside the waistband, I'm carrying right now my Glock 19 at about the 3:30 or 4 o'clock position. And outside the waistband. And if you have the right kind of outside the waistband holster, it's very concealed. It's very well hidden. And it's comfortable. I think outside the waistband is probably the most comfortable method of carry that I've ever tried. Just as comfortable as pocket carry, which, you know, I often find myself carrying the larger gun because I can carry the larger gun outside the waistband and I don't have to slide a tiny little micro gun inside of my pocket, and I'd much rather be carrying the larger gun. So give that a try. Give that a try. You can pick up a Cobra holster from Concealment Solutions, for example, and there are others out there that are good. You can pick them up relatively inexpensive and you can give it a try. But now it's been a couple of years now where that's been my 95% of the time method of carry, even with small guns, even with like a Glock 43 or a Glock 42 or a Smith & Wesson, not the Glock 42, but the Glock 43 Smith & Wesson 9mm shield, been carrying those outside the waistband, and especially with those small guns, boy, it really hides nice, and it's nice and comfortable, and I maintain the speed, and that's, I train with an outside the waistband holster, I compete with an outside the waistband holster, so why not carry as much as I can with an outside the waistband holster? So anyway, I'm excited about 2019 and what the year is going to bring. Ben Branham and I are going to be launching, I think on January 10th, we're going to be launching Modern Handgunners, and it's a video series mostly on YouTube and a couple of other video hosting services. Modern Handgunners, and we're going to take a little bit of a different approach to putting out YouTube videos. We're not going to be your typical YouTube commandos. I get irritated by those people that, in fact, some of them actually speed up their videos, by the way. Some of them, it's been proven, they'll shoot and then they'll speed up the video to make it look like they're shooting a little faster. How about that? Well, that's so deceiving. You're going to see Ben and I just out there at the range. And not only are we going to be shooting, but we're going to be talking about things. It's going to be pretty raw and not edited much. Definitely not sped up and not edited much, because we want to keep it as everyday friendly as we can. As you guys know, I'm an everyday guy. I'm not ex-law enforcement, not ex-military, not a gunsmith or anything like that. Just an everyday dude. And that's the way that I look at this concealed carry stuff. And also training and defensive training and competition. I'm not out to try to win the next IDPA national championship. That's not my goal. Although if you heard the last episode, I talked about my goals. I want to increase my classification in IDPA. I want to go up one step to one step above my existing classification, which is a sharpshooter. So I want to go one step above that. But I know it's not realistic that for me to be the next national champion or regional champion or even local champion. No, but I want to improve. I want to improve. So you're going to get that kind of a perspective from us at Modern Handgunners. Right now, you can find me on YouTube, Bob's Bullet Points. I should be putting another Bob's Bullet Points video out there pretty soon. And one of my last bullet points that I was talking about recently on my YouTube series, my YouTube channel, was about the third generation Glock 19. I kind of call it a forgotten gun. And, you know, somebody challenged me on that, but I'm going to stand by what I said. I really think the third generation Glock 19 is kind of a forgotten gun. So much stuff out there, so many new guns, fantastic guns, nice guns, different versions of Glocks, striker fire, double action, single action, 1911, so much out there. There's nobody talking about the virtues and the good aspects of a Glock 19 third generation. There are some very good positives still to that gun that came out when? Way back in the 80s, right? Hey, folks, guns that came out back in the 80s, they're still viable. There's nothing wrong with them. How about all you 1911 shooters out there? You're shooting a gun that was pretty much created, that concept, that system, that gun system. I'm not going to call it a platform. Don't like that word. That type of gun, that system, when was that built? 1904, 05, 06? Adopted by the U.S. military in 1911, which is why it's called that. So you're shooting a gun well over a 100-year-old design. It's still viable. 1911s are still viable, folks. They're still viable. As long as you practice with them and train with them and marry the platform, it's still a viable gun. Oops, what did I just say? Oh my God, I can't. See, it's a habit I have to break. Marry the system, marry the type of gun. See how hard that habit is to break, but it's not a platform. A platform's something else. It's not a type of gun. Ah, irritating. I'm irritating myself right now. Just like the other day I was watching a video. Somebody on YouTube called, he said, this gun has a nice feeling handle. Oh, ugh, it's not a handle, folks. It's not a handle. It's a grip. It's not a handle. It's a grip. Okay, a handle is, it's on a hammer, it's on a window, it's on a door handles. Okay, in my business, in my real job, I sell a lot of door handles. Those are handles. There's no handles on a gun, on a handgun. They're grips. Okay, they're grips. I don't know, man. You might say, oh, Bob, you know, you're being fussy about things. Well, yeah, okay, maybe I'm being fussy about things, but what really gets me is when people will use like the incorrect terminology for a magazine, you know, calling it a clip. That's just incorrect. A magazine and a clip are two completely different things. Look it up. They're completely two different things. And I think it's important, and it's something else I'm going to say here about 2019. I'm going to try real hard to be much more precise in what I say and in what I do, because words mean things, language means things, and some of the things that really irritate me. And I've been guilty of saying some of this stuff, and I'm going to change forever some of this stuff that I say. Some of the silly things. Let's make a commitment in 2019 to quit talking about the silly things as it pertains to guns. And what do I mean by that? Dumb stuff like, I would rather be tried by 12 than carried by 6. That's just dumb. That's just dumb. People are, what they're referring to is they'd rather be tried by a jury of 12 than carried by 6 pallbearers because they're dead. Dumb stuff to say. You say those words, and if you're in a shooting, that stuff can be used against you. You can't miss with a shotgun. Yeah, baloney. Yes, you can. People say that all the time. Can't miss with a shotgun. Tell that to a duck hunter. Tell it to a pheasant hunter. Tell it to a bird hunter. Tell that man or woman that you can't miss with a shotgun, and see what they say to you. Okay, just see what they say to you. Well, you know, a little bit of gun control is okay because they're not really trying to take away our guns. Yeah, really? Uh-huh. Okay, so a little bit, you think a little bit of gun control is okay, right? Because they're not really trying to take away your guns. Google search politicians that want to take away your guns. Or maybe you don't use Google. Maybe you use something else. Bing or DuckDuckGo, whatever. Whatever search engine you use. Just search politicians that want to take away our guns. It will shock you. It will shock you. Even some of the prominent politicians today have, some of the people that are going to be sworn into Congress in a few days from the release of this podcast, have actually, they have been publicly recorded saying that yes, it's their ultimate goal to take away people's guns. Yeah, they've been recorded. So check that out. So don't ever say again, well, a little bit of gun control is okay because they don't really want to take away our guns. Look at some of the things that some of the states are doing right now. Literally, taking away guns, taking away accessories, taking away modifications, taking away magazines from people. You know, if you got some feedback on this or some examples, this is something I'd like to get some feedback on. How about sending me a voicemail at area code 210-646-1727. 210-646-1727. In the next episode, January 15th, I'm going to talk about some listener voicemails. Once again, the number is area code 210-646-1727. You hear people say things like, well, you know, I don't carry with a round in the chamber. Oh my goodness. Why? Why do you carry an unloaded gun? Yeah, that's what it is. A gun without a round in the chamber is unloaded. Because if you think that you're going to have plenty of time, plenty of mental presence, dexterity, and everything else that you need to draw that gun out of your pocket or holster, rack the slide, and get around chambered, and then get your gun up on target and press the trigger to make a hit, if you think you're really, really realistically going to be able to do that, you are probably one of the most accomplished shooters that this planet has ever seen. I know. The Israelis used to do it. You know what? Search that. Internet search that. I don't have the time to go into it. But search, why did the Israelis used to carry without a round in the chamber? So just search that. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. And unless you're a member of the IDF and you're that accomplished and that well-trained, and even some of them were really not all that well-trained, okay, but they were good. Unless that's you, carry with a round in the chamber, folks. Carry with a round in the chamber. If you don't feel comfortable carrying with a round in the chamber of your pistol, why? Why? Why don't you feel comfortable? doing that. That's on you. You probably need more training, or you need a better holster, or you need a better belt, or you need a better system. You need to change some things. There are people today that can't even get the gun out and get it on target with a round in the chamber. So what makes you think you're going to be able to do it without a round in the chamber? Wow. All you have to do is go attend a competition match and watch a beginner at IDPA or a beginner in USPSA. Watch them. Watch somebody who's never done it before. And time them. Figure out how long does it take to get their gun out of the holster and on target and a couple of good hits. How many seconds does that take them? Watch. And that's with a round in the chamber. Think about it. Matter of fact, you need to time yourself, folks. Do this. Just time yourself. Get somebody with a shot timer to be with you. Don't put a round in the chamber. Put the gun in your holster. Concealed. You know, if you're concealing the gun, make sure you conceal it in your concealed carry holster. Your normal carry setup. Have them time you. How long does it take for you to draw the gun, chamber around, and shoot and make two quality hits? Figure out that time, and then once you have that time, compare that to the time that you're probably going to have in a fight to save your life. And then answer the question yourself. Am I realistically going to be able to do this? What happens if, let's say you're a right-handed shooter, what happens if your left hand is not available? What if it's being held by the bad guy, pinned by the bad guy behind your back, twisted? What if your left arm's being twisted or something like that? What if it's injured? What if they stabbed you in the left arm or for some reason your left arm's out of commission? Now what do you have to do if you don't have one in the chamber? Now you got to draw your gun and you got to figure out how to get one in the chamber one-handed. You know what? I've taught people to do that. I've practiced it myself hundreds of times, and I've taught people hundreds of times to draw their gun and clear a malfunction, which is pretty much the same thing as drawing a gun without a round in the chamber and doing it one-handed. I've taught people how to do that one-handed. It's interesting. It's really eye-opening how many people can't do it. I mean, eventually they can do it, but I've seen people stand there for a minute. If they've never practiced it, they've stood there for a minute trying to figure out. Even if it's 30 seconds, if they stand there for 30 seconds drawing the gun, trying to figure out, how do I get around in the chamber one-handed? And what do you think is going to happen if you wait 30 to 60 seconds before you can fire a shot? Your life is being threatened. And you wait 30 to 60 seconds before you fire your gun in self-defense? What's going to happen to you? Think about that. Please, folks, carry with a round in the chamber. Oh, the other thing in your concealed carry analysis for 2019, can we all please stop saying, I've been around guns all of my life, so I'm good to go. A lot of people have been around guns all their life. I've had people come to my classes when I used to teach them, been around guns all their life. Matter of fact, they even said that. But they were at the training class to learn. And I got to tell you, some of these people that have been around guns all their life, some of them were not very good. And it's a good thing they came to the training class, because they got not so good instruction from the people that they have been around all their life. So you know, can we please, you know, not say that? I've been around engineers all my life. I have, pretty much. At least all my professional life, I've been around engineers. But I'm not an engineer. I'm not a very good engineer. Matter of fact, I don't know really the first thing about being an engineer, but I've been around engineers most of my life. You know, I've been around golfers most of my life. I used to be a golfer for about 15 years. I golfed at least a couple times a month for 15 years, but I haven't really gone out and played a round of golf, I think, in over 6 or 7 years. But I have been, folks, I'm telling you, I've been around golfers all of my life. But I'm not a good golfer. But I've been around them all my life. But I'm not a very good golfer. I think you get the point. Okay, you've been around guns all your life. Good. Maybe you don't have a fear of guns because you've been around them all your life. But don't automatically assume you're good just because you've been around them all your life. Okay? I grew up around shotguns and rifles all of my life. My family, they're all hunters. They were all big hunters and took me hunting since pretty much since I was about 11 years old. They took me hunting and I got to be okay with a shotgun. Okay with a shotgun and mediocre with a rifle. But I was never around handguns all my life. You know, I never shot a handgun until 2005. I take that back. I did shoot a 38 Special revolver. About 10 rounds through a 38 Special revolver when I was in college. I went shooting with somebody. That was about it. Not until 2005 did I decide to take my self-defense seriously and carry and compete and train and do this podcast and teach and things like that. So since 2005, it's now the beginning of 2019, you know, just a little over 13 years. You know what? In 2005, I was not very good. I had been around guns all my life, but I wasn't very good in 2005 when I started. So, okay, enough on that. Okay, another thing in 2019. Can we please, and I've seen this, I've seen these comments. I've heard them and I've seen them. Can we please not say, I watch all kinds of shooting videos. I'm fairly well trained. Oh my goodness. Now, you might be saying, Bob, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Haha, no pun intended. Because you and Ben, you got this shooter's club. You got this shooter's club that has 80 videos on it. About 80 videos now of good instructional, well-informed videos that give you some good knowledge. We do. We do, and we encourage you to sign up for only $8 a month or $75 a year. Because you know what videos do? Videos remind you of things that you need to learn. They give you some tips, some pointers, some helpful hints, maybe some decent gun reviews and things like that. But they're not a substitute for training. I think our Shooters Club is well worth the investment of $8 a month or only $75 a year. Well worth the investment because Ben and I keep it real and we keep it common sense and practical and try to give you information that you really need to know. But you'll never hear me or Ben, or you shouldn't hear anybody that's worth their salt say that videos are a substitute for training. You can't just watch a video and say, okay, I know what I'm doing. Back to some of my earlier examples. Could I do that with golfing? Could I just watch golf videos and then just go out and be a good golfer right away? You know, could I do that? Could I sit and watch court cases? Could I sit and watch trials and court cases? And if I sat and let's say I watched 1,000 hours of court case videos, does that make me a good attorney? Will I be able to pass the bar exam if I just sit and watch legal videos? What do you think? You think I could do that? No, couldn't do that. So while I urge you to become a Shooters Club member and access our good exclusive videos, please don't substitute them for training and practice. Okay, another concealed carry analysis for 2019 I want to discuss, and then I'm probably going to wrap this episode up. Competition shooting. I have been talking about competition shooting pretty much since I launched this podcast in 2009, in August of 2009. I've been talking about the value of competition. Can we please stop saying things like, competition will get you killed in the streets? Just stupid, dumb stuff that people say. No, it won't. I think a good competitive shooter is far, far better prepared to defend himself or herself than somebody who's never done 1 minute of it. Oh yes, the the skills you gain in competing. And you know what? Check your ego at the door when you go to a competition match. You're not going to win. Unless you do what the winners do. You know what the winners do? The people who win competition matches? They shoot a lot. They train a lot. They take a lot of classes. They spend a ton of money in ammo. They spend a ton of time at the range. And they usually spend a pretty fair amount of money on their gun. So if you're willing to do that, then maybe you'll win. But that's not the point. The point's not showing up to win. The point is to show up at a competition match to have fun. For $25 or $30, it's some of the most fun you get to have with a handgun. Some of the comments I've overheard at competition matches, especially from new shooters, people who've done it for the first time, at the end of the, they'll talk to their friend, or sometimes they'll even say to me at the end of the match, wow, this is stuff I just don't get a chance to do this stuff with a handgun very often. I just, this was great. I'm going to come back because I don't get to do this very often. And if you search in your area, I'll bet you once a month you can find a competition pistol match within a reasonable distance of your location. And I bet you once a month you'll have one. And that's just such great practice. And you're going to learn so much, safe gun handling skills and everything. So competition skills will not get you killed in the streets. Hogwash, garbage. Talk to some of the best competition shooters. As a matter of fact, you know, Mike Seeklander, fantastic, amazing competition shooter, and also host of the American Warrior Show, which I listen to a lot. I'm going to give Mike Seeklander a shout out. I gave Michael Bain a shout out earlier in this episode, and I'm giving a shout out to Mike Seeklander. I've never met Mr. Seeklander, never taken one of his classes. I'd like to. I've been following Mike Seeklander on podcasts and on videos and TV shows. And I got to tell you what, Mike Seeklander's probably not going to get killed in the streets because of his competition shooting. Okay? I don't think he's going to. And I don't think most of the well-accomplished competition shooters are going to get killed in the streets. So, because of their competition shooting. Garbage, garbage, garbage. You know who probably says that? You know who the people probably are that say, well, competition is going to get you killed in the streets? It's the people who can't do it. It's the people who won't do it, can't do it, or failed miserably doing it. So guess what? They trash it. Because they don't do it, can't do it, won't do it, they trash it. Unfortunately, that's human nature. People who are good competition shooters, you're probably not going to hear or read them saying, oh, don't do this stuff. It's going to get you killed in the streets. Okay, and the final point that I'd like to make in this 2019 concealed carry analysis is, can we kind of back off? Can we kind of back off on trashing each other in the firearms community? I've spoken about this before, but I think now in 2019 it's going to be very important. Let's stop trashing each other. I mean, some of the stuff I read and I see and the comments, just absolutely taking another firearms owner, another firearms rights activist, another person who is a Second Amendment activist and pro-Second Amendment, and trashing them. I mean, unmercifully. I mean, everything, you know, name-calling, calling them morons, ignorance. I'm sorry, language alert here, folks. Sorry. If you have people that shouldn't be hearing what I'm about to say in the next couple minutes, then fast forward or pause, come back to it. But I have seen comments calling other firearms owners, just because they said something that they disagreed with, calling them a moron, calling them a weak ass, calling them an ignoramus, calling them all kinds of stuff like that, calling them an idiot, and totally discrediting them and their character. Is that productive? In this critical time that we have in 2019, where we are trying to fight for our gun rights, where we're all trying to take self-defense seriously, self-defense with a handgun, where we're all trying to preserve our Second Amendment freedom to be a free people, because that's what the Second Amendment really is about, our ability to be and stay a free people, a free citizenry? Is it productive to trash another person who is in the firearms community and basically on our side? Okay? And even if they're an anti-gunner, I can tell you, trashing them is not going to persuade them to your point of view. I'm a salesperson by profession, and I'm pretty successful. And I'm going to start my 33rd year in sales. And I make a healthy living, folks, selling. And I've been selling since 1986. You know what? The most important thing that I've learned in trying to persuade people to my point of view or to my product or service, don't trash their prior decisions. Don't trash my competition. And by the way, if somebody made a bad decision and I'm trying to present my product, I'm not going to trash their bad decision. I'm not going to call them out on their bad decision. You know, it's game over if I do that. It's game over. I'm done. I'm not going to make the sale. I'm finished if I start trashing what they did in the past or what they said or prior decisions. That never works. And it's not going to work to persuade hardly anybody to your point of view. So if we could lose that, please, in 2019, that's a strong suggestion coming from me. Do you have feedback? I would love to get it. My email address is handgunworld@gmail.com, handgunworld@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook. I'm not going to spend as much time on Facebook in 2019 as I have in the past, but I'll be there. I'll be there. I'm Handgun World on Twitter. I'm Handgun World on YouTube. My voicemail is 210-646-1727. There is no excuse, no way that you should fail to get a hold of me if you wish, and I would love to get your feedback. And I'll be talking about listener feedback next week. So that's it, folks. That's it for this episode, for the first episode of 2019. Happy New Year to all of you. I hope you have a blessed and productive new year in 2019. Remember, folks, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. Read your Bible every day and shoot straight, shoot safe, and I'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.